No, I'm Right, the podcast that uncovers the origin stories of some of the biggest names in media, entertainment, sports, pop culture, and so much more. Nick Durst here, along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, our guest today, no surprise, another survivor from Big Brother who made it out of the longest season alive.
I think we're becoming the new go-to podcast for former Big Brother contestants.
Okay. We've
had a lot of a lot of people on from this season, making a lot of friends. But we welcome Felicia to You Know I'm Right. Felicia, this is the first time we've done anything like this. We're going live right now on Instagram. But how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to the new year, getting ready to come in and all that 2024 is going to bring, and just, you know, still kind of winding down from coming out of those 96 days in the house.
Yeah, that was a grueling stretch. How are your holidays been so far?
They've been wonderful. You know, when I first got home a couple weeks later, a lot of my family came for Thanksgiving. And then since then, it's just really kind of been hyped all the way through. We had more of a quiet Christmas, about 10 people over, 10 to a dozen people, which for us is quiet. And just done a little bit of moving around with my husband and my son. Tomorrow we're going to the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and so that should be fun. We like football, so we've gone to a couple basketball games. So just enjoying the holiday season. This is my favorite time of the year. It brings out the best in people.
Absolutely love that. We hope you have a great time. The Pop-Tart Bowl was a lot of fun that just passed. So hopefully the Chick-fil-A Bowl is just as good with as much entertainment and laughs. So what we want to do here is we want to talk about younger Felicia first. We want to talk about how you grew up, your time in the Air Force, your time in civil service, and get a real background about you.
Okay, so how do I start? So to hit tidbits, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts. Me and my brother a year older that just passed, Norman, and my brother a year younger, Leslie. My mom is from Tampa. When she was six, she moved to Washington with my grandmother and grandfather and then lived there her whole life. She got married to my dad. They moved to Boston. And that's how we landed in Boston and were born. When I was about two or so-ish, my mom and dad got divorced. She moved back to Washington, and that is where I grew up, in Tacoma, Washington. Then my mom had two more kids, married and divorced twice. And from there, once my younger sister was born, she was a single parent raising five kids, three girls and two boys. So that tells you something right there. And we were a handful. You know, I always tell people we played hard and we fought hard, you know, so everybody, wherever she worked, they always knew all of us because we were calling all the time because we were always fighting. And I'm calling, Mama Norman hit me, Mama Leslie did this. And so they'd answer the phone. They'd say, Claudette, Felicia's on the phone. I mean, that's how crazy we were. But we had so much fun because we were a big family in the sense that my mom was 14 years older than her next youngest sibling. So her brothers and sisters were our age growing up. So for instance, when I was in high school, my sophomore year in high school, I had an aunt and an uncle that were seniors. My brother and an aunt were juniors, and I was a sophomore. So everybody always thought we were brothers and sisters versus aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and all of that. My grandmother used to have an ice cream store called Pat's 24 Flavors in the Hilltop in Tacoma. So everybody knew our family. Between the ice cream store and church, it was, you one of them Pattersons, ain't you? Because that was their maiden name, the Patterson name. And so, yeah, I'm one of them Pattersons. Now, I don't know which one you are, but I can look at you and tell you one of them Pattersons. So we were known all around town because of church. I grew up in church. We lived deep, breathe church. I love Jesus. You know, that's where I get my foundation from, my whole family. And so it's just, we did everything together as a family. And so family really is my foundation. And even now being married, my husband, one son, we've been married 26 years after I met my husband in a class in the Air Force. So I left home at 22, graduated from high school, kept kind of jumping around jobs. went into the Air Force at 22 and stayed single for the first 15 years in the military. So I did a lot of moving around. I PCS 9 times, always meeting new people from all walks of life. I went overseas, stateside. I like to travel. Met my husband, and 4 months later, we got married. And 26 years later, we're still together, and we have a 24-year-old son. And that's kind of Felicia.
Felicia,
absolutely
great.
Love that.
Right now, we're if you're watching us on the recording on YouTube or on everywhere else, we're also live right now on Instagram at the same time with Felicia here. Felicia, you mentioned that ice cream shop. Did you have ice cream cake for pretty much every family occasion, every holiday growing up?
When I tell you, it's really a negative, and here's the bad part, because now, you know, I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, it's brutal.
Back in the day before they had a name for it, you just said, oh, my God, I don't know why my stomach hurts. Now, as much as I love ice cream, and I mean I love ice cream, I try not to mess with it too much, but every year, you know, now we're here in Georgia, and if you haven't tasted the milkshakes from Chick-fil-A, that peach milkshake and that strawberry milkshake and that peppermint milkshake, oh my God. So every summer I get at least one, and my husband looks at me like, why are you going to do that to me? And I said, I just need a few sips and then I'll give you the rest. So I buy a milkshake every summer and every winter when that peppermint one comes out, because I got to just taste it because I love ice cream. And yes, every birthday we had cake, ice cream cakes, ice cream. When I tell you Pat's 24 flavors, that was before Baskin and Robbins. And my grandmother made all of her ice cream herself. Handmade, fabulous ice cream.
Interesting stuff there for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. So what, you traveled around for the Air Force. Where were some of the favorite places that you got to go to?
I started out, so I'm going to San Antonio, went from San Antonio to Zweibrücken, Germany, went from Zweibrücken, Germany to Blytheville, Arkansas. That was a mess. Went from Blytheville, Arkansas to Ankara, Turkey. That was probably my best assignment. Beautiful country, food, the people, the experience, loved. Actually, all my overseas assignments were my best assignments because I like learning other people's cultures. Went from Turkey to Plattsburgh, New York. That was probably my worst assignment. I didn't realize that people live places where it gets 50 below zero willingly. And so that was a disaster. I gained 40 pounds because all you did was sit inside and I drank hot toddies. I almost became an alcoholic in Blytheville, Arkansas.
Oh boy.
Trying to stay warm. Went from there to McCord Air Force Base. So I went back home. And I was there for a year and a half, 2 years. And my mom and them were so mad because they thought I was going to spend the rest of my career there when I came back. And I said, oh, no, this is just a pit stop. And that's actually where I got married to my husband. We got stationed over in Guam. So my son was born in Guam at the Navy hospital. And then we left there and we went to Dover, Delaware. And that's where we both retired. And then we actually, from Delaware, we moved to Maryland for about a year. We stayed there about a year and then moved back to Washington for 10 years because my son was an only child. So we wanted him to get connected to all my nieces and nephews so that, you know, in case anything happened, he was connected. And then we stayed about 10 years. And in 2013, we moved to Kennesaw, Georgia. And that's where we've been. And it's probably where we'll stay. A lot of moving around, but I like experiencing life in different places because, believe it or not, everywhere you move, the culture changes a little bit. The people change a little bit. The norms change a little bit. And so you learn and you grow just by being in new environments. I think everybody should leave home at least once in their lifetime.
Interesting. So you settled for now. Maybe you'll move again. We'll never know. How was it transitioning into real estate?
Real estate is a beast, in particular, like now, the market, everybody's scared to buy. I got a call this morning. I'm so excited though. I'm only going to tell you his first name, Ronald. He called me and he said, first off, let me just say, I loved you on Big Brother, Mama Fee. So that made
That'll help the brand.
That made my day. He's moving to Atlanta. And so I'm getting ready to work with him on buying a house. So I'm excited about that. It's a challenge, but here's what I'll say. Me and my husband aren't doing real estate because we're chasing the money and chasing people. We've kind of let it come to us. So we have not done a whole lot of work only because we want it to just be a natural integration, migration. And we just feel like referrals, word of mouth, we're going to help people that want our help. We've retired twice and we didn't want to sit at home on the couch and do nothing. I just said, I can't get old. That's what makes people old. And so I said, we have to have something that still keeps us out there, keeps us engaged. It keeps us with our computer skills, you know, up to par. And so we take it one day at a time. I'm working with my next door neighbor. I'm working with somebody that I used to work with in one of my old jobs, you know, sold her a house. And so everybody that I've come in contact with, it's through some type of connection. And that's what I like. But I really want to gravitate to first-time home buyers and veterans. That's where my Beautiful. Heart is.
Yeah.
First-time home buyers and veterans. And first-time home buyers, because I really believe too many people, particularly young people, my son, they're spending way too much money on rent, paying somebody else's mortgage. It's like, get your own house.
Absolutely. Now,
if you guys don't have houses, go get one.
I have one. Joe needs to
get a house. I rent. He's in a house.
Felicia, obviously, you know, to get people to come to the house, look at it, it's all about the listing. You got to put these buzzwords in, conveniently located to this, or the wet bar. Give me what your listing would be if you were selling the Big Brother house. What would you write as the buzzwords, the catchy words?
Expect the unexpected.
Did they pay you to say that or what?
No, I mean, I'm telling you, I would say if you're looking for a fun house that's got a lot of different,
Quirks.
Personalities.
Yeah.
You know, every room gives you a different feel. For instance, when I walked in the house and I went into the scary room, I turned around and walked back out and said, there's no way I'd sleep in that room. I went into the comic room and I walked out and I said, it's too busy. I'll never be able to fall asleep. And I ended up in the scramble room, although that was a mistake because I didn't pay attention to the fact that it didn't have a door. but it was the prettiest room and it was bright and it was airy. But I would tell people, just if you want to get a little bit of everything all in one house, go to the Big Brother house and expect the unexpected.
So Felicia, obviously you were a fan before going in. So for you, what was that motivation that sparked that you decided, let me audition for this? And what was that process like for you to go through everything before ultimately finding out you're going to be on the show?
Well, like I said, I've watched the show since 2099, whenever it started, me and my husband have literally watched every season. And I always thought it was interesting how people just, some of the mistakes they would make in the relationships, you know, you're yelling and screaming at the TV. I'll be honest, we never watched the live feeds. I didn't, even though we had kind of heard about it, we always just watched the show. Well, after being in the house and coming home and realizing my husband watched the live feeds and he had saved a lot of it for me to see. And I was like, oh Lord, You don't really know how much really goes on behind the scenes.
I wonder why he thought of the live feed when you were in solitary confinement for 24 hours all by yourself.
Said he was laughing and he thought, oh my God, please don't let her do anything silly because I can tell she's getting stir crazy. I don't do well being idle. I really don't. And then I couldn't talk to anybody for literally 24 hours. So while I thought it was a blessing on the front end, after about 12, 18 hours, it's like, okay, Mr. B, this is starting to give me a headache.
Yeah, I think the worst part had to be going to the bathroom in that little tent.
When I looked up and realized, it's like, why do they have a tent in the room? And I looked in there and I realized there was a porta potty. I said, you have to be kidding me. And I told myself initially, oh, I'm not eating. I am not going to eat because I refuse to use that bathroom in the same room that I'm sleeping in. But I got hungry.
Yeah.
So eventually I ate something and eventually I used the bathroom and I was irritated every time I went in. But what could I do? I said, okay, Felicia, this is a day. You can do this. Suck it up.
So what was the best thing you ate in the house, or what was the best thing you cooked in the house?
I think one of the best meals we had in the house, it was, you know, one time we did a we did fishes three ways. We had, I think it was halibut, it was tilapia, and it was salmon. And we cooked it three different ways, and it really was a fabulous meal. Actually, the pasta that I made when there was only four of us left in the house, that was a really good, it was a chicken Alfredo pasta that I made in the house.
Sounds good.
It was really good. And I have to say, though, one of my favorite two meals was really the spaghetti kind of mix that Blue made, and me and Sari made a lasagna, and Red made a pasta dish with spaghetti sauce that was to die for. Even when I made mine on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, I still haven't got to where Red got his, and I'm going to still work on it till I can get that Red taste. Delicious. Delicious.
And who would you say is the worst cook in the house?
Probably Corey.
Well, I think with cooking, I think you need a little wisdom, right?
You need a little age to you.
I mean, he probably wasn't cooking that much in college, you know?
No, he liked the pasta that I made one time. And so he learned how to make the pasta, but he has to broaden his palate. Corey hasn't tried a lot of things. So he's got a narrow palate, so he don't even know what good food really supposed to taste like.
Yeah, he's been eating these the ramen noodles and all those little that little stuff that you snack on when you're in college. You got nothing. Yes. You got to figure out the cheap stuff.
He's used to, and that's what he's still eating.
Blush, I'm monitoring guys our live chat. As we mentioned earlier, we're also live on Instagram for this episode. And MarthGon 2018 wants to know if you're going to put out a cookbook.
You know, everybody keeps saying that to me. And so I'm really actually thinking about it. I sat out with somebody yesterday that I did a podcast with, and he's really trying to convince me to consider doing a cookbook. So I'm really going to put that at the forefront and work on that and see what I can come up with, because I love cooking. I've always been a foodie, always. Even when I was in the military, to bring this full circle, when every place that I was stationed, people would always send new people to me when they wanted to know where the best restaurants were, because I always loved going out to eat and then coming home and try to recreate those meals at home. That's always been a something of mine. I live, eat, and breathe all the TV shows right now that are cooking TV shows. Gordon Ramsay, I watch all of them. Master Chef and Chopped and everything that's cooking, I watch, because I love cooking. I love food.
I think the people want to see you on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
I've thought about that. But see, the negative with that is he's hiring somebody in the end to run one of his kitchens. And I don't know that I want to do that. Right. So I thought, I believe I could go on Hell's Kitchen and do well? Yes. But in the end, I don't want to win, because I don't want to go into a restaurant and have to run a restaurant. I'm too old for that.
So we got an appearance from Mama Fee on Celeb Hell's Kitchen eventually. Nick is the foodie between the both of us. So he does food reviews. He does food reviews on Instagram, and they tend to do really, really well. Loves going to buffets and stuff. We went to a couple of buffets when we were in Vegas, and he reviews little places. So maybe that could be a little future collaboration there between the both of you.
I am telling you, I've always wanted to be a food critic. When I tell you, that's a pastime for our family. We go out to eat at least a couple times a week. And on Sundays, we go to the nicer places and we just say, okay, where are we going today? And one of us picks a new spot and we go. I've got in my phone where it has notes. I literally have probably 500 restaurants in there. All cities all around the United States and in other places. So that when I go in, I already know where I'm going to eat.
Well, if you ever come up to the Big Apple, me and Joe will hook you up with the best spots.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I may be coming this summer.
There you go. I was going to mention this before. You're mentioning like spaghetti in the Big Brother house. I mean, my dad is from Little Italy, so I know the best areas to get really good Italian food, like really good
pasta. Felicia, I don't know if you already know this, but Joe, when he was a little younger, he was making sausage and peppers with Tony Danza.
Are you serious?
I'll show you. I will send you the picture after we're done recording this live. But One of the years, there's this feast in New York. It's called the San Gennaro Feast. It runs every September, right at the end of the summer. They close down the street and everything. It's a lot, very, very big. A lot of people, even if you're not from New York City, know what it is. So my father grew up in that area, and he knows a lot of people, and he knows a lot of some of the famous people who were in and around that area as well. So Tony is a friend of his. Now, they've drifted apart through the years because Tony's obviously doing his own thing. But it's like they were a little closer when they were younger. One year he came to, used to be Aleva on the corner of, Grand Street and Mulberry Street. So Mulberry Street's the big one where the feast is on. And one year I was working there. I worked all 10 days of the feast. And Tony Danza on a Wednesday, on a nice night, made a surprise appearance. And I can't even tell you how much we sold that night. But yeah, I was the one manning the grill. And all of a sudden he comes in here and he takes my grill spot and he's like, I got this, I got this. And eventually I kind of worked my way back in, and we were serving sausage and peppers and onion sandwiches together. So like
oh
I said,
my God.
We got a really great place, a great place to eat Italian food here. You let Nick and I know when you plan on coming to New York over the summer, whether you're coming with your family, whether you're coming with other people who you played the game with or other friends, you know, you let us know and hopefully we get together one day and have really good Italian food over here.
I will let you know for sure. I'm telling you, show me the spots.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get back to the game. You made it very, very far. You got to the Final Four. You played a tremendous social game. You used your personality to your advantage. Everybody loved you. But what would you say were some of your bigger regrets with the way you played the game, if at all?
There's several things that I think that I could have done better. I think I trusted too soon. I think I talked too much. Now, I knew going in that was going to be a problem. I revealed secrets, but it was only when I felt like I needed to have blockers out there. When I sensed that I was in trouble, then I had to find a way to deflect the trouble from me. I worked really hard not to actually outright lie to people, because that is a something for me. So I was trying to play the game as honest as I could, but I still had to figure out how to manipulate a little bit so that I didn't become the target. I always knew when things were going awry because I could feel it. I watched people a lot. I wish that I had tried to figure out how to, I don't know, maybe listen to my own instinct a little bit more. Something I never liked this season, I've never liked any season when we've watched it, is when the house feels like they all have to vote together.
That's boring to me.
Nick, what do I tell you all the time at the beginning of the game? They have to implement the rule at the beginning of the game, at least for the first couple of weeks, where there has to be a penalty if the house all votes the same way.
Yes.
I think it's so boring.
It's so boring. But you even this year, for sure, people got offended. They were mad when they didn't know how everybody was voting so they could be on the right side of the vote. And I remember I stood up at one of those I think it was when I was on the block, and I said, the winner of this game is going to be the person that's willing to step out and take a leadership role and stop following people and be the one that people are following. Stop acting like you got to do what everybody else does. Nobody ever wanted to give you their opinion on anything. So that was probably my something, because I was, you know, there were several times where I said, that's stupid. Why would we do that? And so, you know, people don't necessarily appreciate that. So that was some of my downfall, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't change too much, because I really was just me.
Yeah, you played a great game. I was telling Joe when watching, I said, Jag's got to be careful, because if Felicia is in the final two, I think she's got a great chance to win. Taylor just won the season before, being on the block the most times. You broke her record. And you also had, I think, the most incredible, swaggiest Big Brother moment of all time, cold hearted to Heisum when you put him on the block. Savage.
You know, and I really believe that's why those guys, they didn't want me to go to the final two, because I think they were afraid. One, because I did survive the block 8 times. And probably if I had stayed, would have been on there a 9th time. But the fact that that move that we made with Heisem, it really was, it was a bold move. And I wasn't afraid to make it. And I tell you, I loved Heisem.
Yeah.
As a person, Heisem was so much fun. He kept us cracking up. But he just got too overbearing too fast. And when he tried to push me and push me and push me to put Matt out in the very beginning, and I didn't want to do that, that bothered me. It's like, Heisem, go over there. I'm the HOH.
Right. Heisem was trying to make believe like he was still running the house, but he ran the house the week before. You were the boss.
Like he was running the house, and it's like, stop it, stop it. And so when I realized that was going to be who he was through the whole game, it's like, oh no, you got to go.
Mama, if he put down the hammer.
One to take him out. You know, it was when those guys told me that he had said, why take out a knight when you can take out a king? I said, oh, Sookie, I'm getting ready to use his own words on him.
Putting down the hammer, Mama Fee. Let me tell you something. We had Heisem on the podcast with us right after he was evicted. And
week after, yeah.
He didn't like that either.
No. Like that, I know that pissed him. Did you see the glare he gave me when he went up?
Oh, that's why it was the most savage moment in Big Brother.
If a knife could have cut me, I'd have been dead that moment.
I'll tell you something. I think you changed the game, because I think if he stays in the game, I think a little bit of the dynamics work differently.
Yes.
And I'm not entirely sure we have the same final two. I think there's a domino effect there. So I think you made final four. Had you been sitting in the final two chair, I really think, and Nick agrees with this, like, you would have had a really great shot to win the game. You had the complete resume. You had won competitions. You had a strong social game. You made the big
moves. You would have said, Jack, you already eliminated.
Right.
Which Matt did not say.
It was interesting. Yeah.
I was so disappointed in Matt, and I believe that's what made everybody vote for Jag, because Matt didn't have the gumption to say, you're only here because I saved you.
That's all he had to say. We told him on the show, we said, Matt, all you had to say was that you were going to win. And he realizes it after the fact.
Yes. Matt was cutthroat to other people behind the scenes, but he was afraid to go all in with Jag. Jag cut his throat in the end with his
speaking. Yeah. They were a little too buddy-buddy there. I think in the final two, you just got to, you know, you can acknowledge that the really strong friendship exists, but, you know, it's every
question. What would you actually have asked them if you got to ask your own question on the finale night?
I really wanted to ask Jag, one, had he ever, because I really trusted in the relationship that I had with Jag, particularly when it came to the faith piece. And I found out on the back end, hearing some stuff that he had said, some crazy stuff with regards to that. And so I always wondered, was he just playing the game with me when we were in these conversations, talking about our faith walk and all of that? And for Matt, honestly, I really didn't have any ill with Matt. I knew Matt had a better game. I knew Matt was doing some lying. But Matt really was the all-American guy that really everybody loved, and that was his game, and that's what lasted him so long. So I didn't have any ill will. Now, if Bowie Jane had stayed in that house and sat in one of them final two seats, oh my God, I don't even know what I would have said to Bowie Jane, because you know, on the back
end. Joe, you know what she would have said to Bowie.
I know exactly what she would have said. I don't know if we can say it here. We're live on Instagram.
Say it.
We might get flagged for it.
Nah, say it.
All right, fuck.
I just felt like Bowie Jane was a liar. Bowie Jane, her whole game was fake.
Oh, we had her on too. We didn't ask her about that.
Yes, the fact that she pretended to be young, she pretended to be, you know, dumb. We knew all along that she was playing a role. The fact that she would never feed you any information, but she only liked the guy. She didn't really have any use for any other females in the house. All of these different things that were just so nauseating with Bowie Jane. It just made It made you want to throw up. But I actually still liked Bowie Jane. We had some good conversations when we used to work out and stuff. But when I realized that you couldn't trust anything that she said, when I watched Bowie Jane treat Cameron the way she treated Cameron, I said, oh, now we're seeing the real Bowie Jane. Because she was aligned with him from the time Red went out the door, but she insisted to everybody she hated Cameron, couldn't stand Cameron. We knew she was lying because she sniffed Cameron's butt every time he got up in that HOH room. And so when she was willing to treat him, when he landed on the block and he knew he was going home, and then she said, I don't even want to speak to him. I can't stand him, blah, blah, blah. I remember saying to her, be careful, Bowie Jane, because here's what all you guys are forgetting. He's going in the jury house. So if you're really thinking about trying to win the game, all of you guys, while you acting like you don't need him and you can treat him bad, one, that just isn't right. He wasn't one of my besties, but still he's a person. He deserves to be treated with a little bit of respect. I said, and then he's going in the jury house, so no matter who lands in them chairs, somebody got to get his vote. So all you guys are tripping if you think you don't need him because you let him get here long enough to sit in that jury house.
Did you realize the whole Stuck in Bowie Jane line was going to go viral and be as popular as it was?
I had no idea. When I, on finale night, Izzy is the one that said, oh my God, Phyllis, she said, you know, you have a song out there. And I said, a song? She said, they have a whole song out there. She said, it went viral. She said, oh my God. I said, a song about what? She said, fucking Bowie Jane. I said, fuck. She said, you said it and they created a song around it and you have blown Twitter up. And then she pulls it up and I'm sitting there like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that's what I would say to Bowie Jane. Fucking Bowie Jane. Bowie Jane could have helped me get in those final two seats, and she wasn't willing to do it. She was not willing to do it.
Curious, since you come out of the house, have you spoken to Denzel Washington yet?
I have not. I keep saying I'm going to go on his Twitter or something and say, Denzel, Denzel, Denzel. Holler at your girl, you know, give me a call, it's Mama Fee, but I haven't yet. I'm still waiting.
All right, fair enough. I mean, maybe at the next family reunion you guys will sync up.
Okay. But I have to say, I laugh when Cameron said, I believe you're related to Denzel Washington. I'm like, where'd you get that from?
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, literally.
Oh boy. Who are some of the coolest people you were able to meet thanks to being on the show? Obviously, you're a huge fan. You watched every season. So whether it be someone you met from the Big Brother universe or another person in entertainment that has spoken to you since that you were like, wow, this is really cool that I get to speak with this person.
Honestly, my greatest joy so far has been Julie Chen Minvis. I have always respected her. I think she's a beautiful person, spirit, character, and just to be able to sit in that chair across from her when I came out, and then in the end, and then I did a podcast with her on God First, yeah. Or I can't remember the name of it now, but something God, and I should know, but I love her. I think she, when she was on The Talk, I always watched her. And I always thought she was just a great personality. And so that has actually been my greatest joy, is meeting Julie Chen.
Fair enough. So what was it like, Felicia, the first time that night? Obviously, you self-admitted you're not very tech savvy. You turned your phone back on for the first time. What was that like? How many messages? How many emails? And then also, you know, you're on social media. You aren't huge on social media. And now you have all these followers. So how many followers did you gain from on social media? And how shocked were you that people were so interested in following you on the show?
Well, believe it or not, I mean, I went from having probably 2 followers, and I'm just being serious. I went from probably having 2-10 followers, and now I'm at 49,900 on Instagram. About 14,000 on TikTok, and I just started the YouTube channel. And so, I mean, I have to say it's amazing. I never would have, when I came out and they say, oh my God, Felicia, you're an influencer now. And I said, an influencer? I said, no, I'm not. And they're like, yeah, that's what that check means. And I, that shows you how much I knew. I said, the check means you're an influencer? They said, yes, absolutely. And I'm like, okay. It's, I actually really love it. I've always loved people. I've loved entertaining people. I've loved being in the midst of people. I love talking to people. I love knowing what makes people tick. I like hearing people's story. And so I really want to use this opportunity and this platform to, one, motivate, help, inspire other people as much as I can, in whatever way I can. And whatever comes out of this, it comes, and it's okay. Big or little. I'm not seeking anything out, so it's all good.
So hey, what do you...
My nephew just came in the house. Hey, Aaron.
Hey! It's actually live TV for the first time, Nick. I always make a note that we record the episodes and then we release them later. Uh-huh. But this is the first time we're actually doing something live.
Oh,
we're on
wow.
Live, so we're on live TV. Usually every now and then, like a dog or like a cat or like a pet will kind of either bark or just kind of be in the frame or somebody else is in the background. And everybody's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. That's all right. We're good.
Okay.
Just say hello to your nephew. What's next for you? Obviously, you got the real estate going on. Kind of want
real estate,
center that to start.
More reality TV.
More reality. We need mama feedback on reality.
The challenge.
I'm not going to do the challenge. I tried to talk my husband into doing an amazing race, but he's like, no, I am not doing that with you. But I really am thinking about, I probably shouldn't say this out loud. I'm thinking about The Circle and The Traitor. Oh, I think I could do that.
You know, I'm right exclusive right here.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Season 3 of Traitors.
I'd love to do The Traitor and I'd love to do The Circle.
I think you would have to be a traitor, but that would make it so good. But I think everyone would target you. They think you're the traitor off the bat, probably.
I know. And I thought about that. I said, I probably would get targeted. And I don't, although look at Suri. Look what Suri did on the traitor.
What would you do? Would you do The Amazing Race with Mama Suri, Mama Fee, Mama Suri? I think that would be worth a lot of fun.
I think that's a losing recipe.
But I don't know how far we'd get.
Well, I mean, she was on Survivor. So it's like,
that's different.
Want to complete
they'd be butting heads too much.
Okay. And the competitions on Amazing Race, some of those competitions are difficult. They are difficult. That's why I wanted my husband to do it with me, because see, he could carry me in the stuff where it's truly physical. He'd be the lead person and I'd be sitting back. Come on, Dwayne.
There you go. Perfect. Felicia, in your life or your career or your reality television world, what would you say is, for you, a you-know-I'm-right moment? What I mean by that is a time or place where you wanted to pursue something, you asked somebody for advice, like, Felicia, don't do that. That's an awful idea. And you were like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. And in the end, you ultimately see why it is that I'm right.
Really, most of my life, that's been my story. When I told my mother I was going in, here's where it starts. When I was in high school, and I told my brothers that I was trying out for varsity cheerleader, they laughed at me. And I was so mad. I tried out and I made varsity cheerleader my junior and my senior year. When I was told my mother and them I was going into the Air Force, she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yes, I am. When I told them I was going to be a cop and they thought, oh my God, have you lost your mind? And I loved doing that. When I was in the military, and I, as a cop, I tried out for this 44-man team. And when I told them I wanted to try out, the senior NCO laughed at me. He thought, you're not serious, are you? And I said, well, do you guys have a rule that says females can't try out? And he said, well, no, we just didn't think any would. And we you know how hard it is and everything you have to do. I said, yeah, I can do all of that. I tried out. I was the only female to make that 44-man team. When I came out of the military and, you know, me and my husband at that time, we didn't have college degrees. We hadn't finished school yet. Now we both have master's degrees. But when we were applying for jobs, my husband was thinking, oh, nobody's going to hire us because we don't have a degree. And he wanted to settle for you know, mediocre. I said, oh no, we have 15, 20 years experience doing this. I can talk my way into any job. Both of us ended up landing the jobs that we wanted. When I told him that I was going to apply for Big Brother, again, he laughed at me and said, you really think you're going to get on Big Brother? I absolutely do. And I believe I'm going all the way to the end. And every step of the way, I kept telling him, I told you I'm walking through that door. I need you to get on this page with me. Now, the one thing that scared me was the first night after the first competition, and I was one of the four nominees, and I thought to myself, you have to be kidding me. I know I didn't do all of this to be the first one to go out the door, and I thought, if I am the first one, Dwayne will say, see, I told you. And that's why I kept saying, come on, God, please do not let me leave before I am ready to leave.
Well, the you know I'm right moment it's basically the I gotcha or I told you so moment.
Yes.
So it seems like your whole life you've been telling people, yeah, I told you so. And you're probably going to do that well into the future because that's just who you are.
It is who I am. I don't ever let anybody tell me what I can't do because I believe anything you put your mind to and then you're willing to do the work, oh, you can accomplish it. I believe that.
Well said. Well said. Felicia, we really, really appreciated this. And again, this is the first time that Nick and I have done something like this where usually, again, we record and then we release. This time around, get a little bit of a live thing going. So hopefully this is the start of a trend for Nick and I as we head into the new year, as we head into 2024. We wish you and your family the best heading into 2024. You are tremendous on Big Brother. You are super entertaining. I've been a super fan for a really, really long time when the show started too. So all the super fans loved you. You did them. You really captured what it really was like to be a super fan. I think the energy got across and we really appreciated your time here. What we do here is we always give our guests the last words. And now that you have a social media presence and you are an influencer, you are an influencer. I don't know if it's fully registered yet, but you're an influencer. You're making money from that. But what we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So on top of your social media stuff, if there's anything else you would personally like to share or promote, or if there's any type of last words you want to give on top of everything, by all means, go ahead. Once again, we wish you the best, you and your family moving forward. We wish you the best in 2024 and beyond. And hopefully we see you again on a reality TV show someday.
Thank you. First, I want to just tell both of you, Joseph and Nick, thank you for, I look at any opportunity that I get as a privilege because nobody has to want to talk to me. And so I still take everything as an opportunity. And I thank you with all my heart. When I come to New York, I am going to look you guys up. Even if you just show me some places to go, because I know you know where the eateries are now. I'm on like popcorn. I just look forward to whatever God has for me, because I believe that what's for you is for you and nothing else that happens around you can stop what's actually for you. And so I trust and believe in that. I am going to consider doing this cookbook. So when I do, I'm going to email you guys and let you know. And I'll send you one of the first copies that I do if I end up doing one. And I've just started doing t-shirts and stuff. We're getting ready to stand up the storefront online where people can go and order stuff. It'll drop ship directly to them. It's going to have all my favorite, you know, Faith of a Mustard Seed, Come On God, You Just Said Something. All of that stuff is going to be on t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs where people can buy it. And I'm just taking it one day at a time. Wherever I land and I'll be okay because I'm living my life.
There you go. Excellent. And you're all about your family. And just curious, for your son growing up, what's his favorite thing to do in the pool? Yelling cannonball, yelling the last name and jumping in the pool.
You know, my son is a lot like my husband. He's more low-key. My husband can be a fly on the wall. He does not want to get any attention. My son at a younger age was always the center of attention. And as he's gotten older, he's becoming more reserved like my husband. But he always was a swimmer. He loved swimming. His best stroke was the butterfly. He stopped swimming at about 10 or 11, and I got him back in the pool his senior year in high school. And he almost made it to regionals because he's a great swimmer. But I never got him to ever do the cannonball because he always felt like, oh, I don't want people to pay attention to me. And I'm always like, jump in the pool and do cannonball. So, you know, he's more of a low-key kind of guy. I'm the extrovert in my house.
Fair enough. All right, Felicia, this has been great. This is going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right for our very special guest, Felicia Cannon. Look out for our cookbook coming in 2024. My co-host, Joe Calabrese. I'm Mick Durst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.